You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. Hello everyone and welcome back to Ravens Weekly. We're here for another episode, it seems just like yesterday that we released last week's edition. My name is Matt Hall and I'm joined as ever by Josh Tindall. Josh, the week has really flown by. How are you doing this week?
Yeah, fine. I can't believe it's Thursday.
It's Thursday already and that means...
Actually, it's Friday. Sorry.
Friday in inverted commas. Yeah. That means one thing. The visit of Fulham is very, very close by indeed.
Tomorrow afternoon. Sorry.
I was going to say, is it a 3 a.m. kickoff now? Can you imagine that?
Somewhere it will be.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. That's very true. That's open to interpretation, that one. Lots to cover on the podcast this week. Just to start by thanking everyone for their feedback on last week's podcast. It was great to be back with you, and it was lovely to see some of the messages. You're laughing at me. It was lovely to see some of the messages from you who have tuned in and enjoyed it. Thank you for putting up with us first and foremost. But it is great to be back, and it was a very long episode. It was a bumper episode, but I think that was only fair to put you through that after you've had a break of several weeks from listening to us. So thank you on behalf of everyone here for your support. We are now back on a weekly basis, which means all of our brilliant features are back as well. We're going to start, Josh, by talking about the open training session. Now, we refer to this in last week's podcast, and Andy Woodman spoke about it in his interview. But just to kind of summarise it quickly, a fantastic afternoon, a fantastic morning and afternoon, really. My favourite part was definitely seeing, you think I'm going to say you playing the boys back in town as the players walked onto the pitch.
No, but that was a highlight.
That was a particular highlight, I've got to say. We've got to play that at the pre-season games as well.
Oh, it's lined up.
Brilliant. That's what you love to hear. But another real highlight for me was afterwards in the Broomfields bar, where we saw a number of fans queuing up. Actually, the queue stretched across the room at one point to get the autographs from the players and have the selfies. It was great to see, wasn't it, Josh? And I know the players really appreciate that support.
Yeah, do you know what? I didn't think that was going to be your highlight.
What did you think my highlight was going to be?
Can we talk about what happened in the Allegro facility or not?
Yeah, that was a really nice touch. That was a very unexpected but very nice touch. Go on, do you want to take it away, seeing as you brought it up?
Well, basically, James Vennings can do a little bit more than play football.
James Vennings is now, can we call him an experienced gymnast?
Yeah, I think we can.
So he had some help from Sam and Kim at Allegro School of Gymnastics, who are based here at the football club with us through the latter parts of the week. They are in the room just behind Broomfields. And if you'd like to find out more about them, you can visit our website, bromleyfc.org, because they are partnered with our community trust. So do check them out. It's absolutely, or you can Google them alternatively and you can visit their website. It was absolutely brilliant. I didn't expect it. James Vennings was ushered into a room because Allegro School of Gymnastics have kindly sponsored James Vennings for the season. So a big shout out to Sam and everybody associated there. James was ushered into a room for what we thought would just be a photo with the young gymnasts, who were so pleased to meet him, and it was really lovely to see. But then it all took a bit of a turn, didn't it, Josh? And all of a sudden, what was he doing? Backflips?
Well, are we allowed to say that?
I think so. It was a heavily assisted backflip.
Yeah.
By heavily assisted, I mean Sam and Kim standing on either side of him, lifting him over. But I tell you what, he looked quite agile. I reckon with a little bit more practice, he might be able to do that by himself.
Yeah, well, you went, oh, Josh, can you come in here and take some photos? I was like, of course, Matt, anything for you. Walked in I saw Venno, and he was getting into it.
He was getting ready for a forward roll. I'm not sure if that's the correct terminology. Apologies if not. But it was brilliant.
What's that one where you have to stand in each corner and then in the middle you do like a little cartwheel?
Isn't it just a cartwheel?
But you have
to
run up.
He did a cartwheel, didn't he?
He did, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He did a cartwheel. He did a backflip. And
do you know what? I thought he was going to go full out Obafemi Martins.
Do you reckon if he scores, he might incorporate these into some of his celebrations? Yeah.
But then I think it'll probably turn a bit into Robbie Keane. You know how he did like a half-hearted?
Yes. Little kind of, yeah. But maybe by the end of the season, he'll be doing... Do you remember Nani for Man United?
Yeah, yeah.
He'll be doing that.
Oh, yeah.
But it was, in all seriousness, we digress, but it was really good to see.
Yeah.
And thank you to Allegro for their support. So James was busy doing that. The rest of the players were signing autographs. I interviewed James when he finished his gymnastics session. There was a real buzz in Broomfield, and it was great to chat to people you hadn't seen for a few weeks and welcome the fans back to Hayes Lane. Broomfield's was very busy. You know, we had our soccer schools on in the morning as well, so some of the kids from there came up to meet the players. Wonderful to see. We provided everyone with the posters for the players to sign. And actually, Josh, you saw a lot of the new kits, particularly, may I add, the alternative kit being walked around in and being sold in the club shop.
Well, I mean, you know, you see the comments out there and whatever about the away kit, but it's becoming a really good seller.
It's a bestseller at the moment.
It is. Which is and incredible. The home kit is amazing. So
I love the home kit. I love them both.
Yeah.
But the home kit for me is just a class above anything else in this league. I love it. I think it's gorgeous. Anyway, before I try and find any more superlatives about our new home kit, you can buy both of those kits in the Jim Brown Club shop. You can visit during the week or on a match day. And you can also purchase online. Check out the website, bromleyfc.co.uk, for more of that. Now, someone who was absent from that open training session, because he didn't come in until the Monday, 2 days later, was Teddy Sharman-Lowe. Teddy is a goalkeeper who has signed on loan from Chelsea, having spent last season with Havant and Waterlooville. And of course, that means he played with Josh Pasley as well. He's also just returned from the England Under-20 World Cup, where he made his debut against Iraq and kept a clean sheet, which is absolutely incredible to think you've had a player come back from a World Cup, Josh, to join Bromley, to come to Hayes Lane. And actually, you'll hear it in the interview in a minute, how impressed he was with the surroundings.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good that we're at this stage of pre-season with two number one goalkeepers.
Two outstanding goalkeepers, yeah.
That's what it'll be like. Whoever performs best over pre-season will play at Halifax. Whereas I think before, obviously, Cookie was a trialist through the season, didn't really know what was going on with that. And to know that we're going into six home games, which I'm guessing he'll rotate the goalkeeper, whoever performs the best will be in goal at Halifax.
Yeah, it's and not that
makes it,
is it?
No, makes it more entertaining than Cookie being in goal every friendly, and then you know if he signs he'll be in goal first game. But now we've got two, so.
Well, it's incredible to see. And actually, the trialist goalkeeper, who those of you who were at Dulwich will have seen, is not doing himself any disservice at the moment.
No.
He's pulling out some brilliant saves, and he was particularly good in the open training session too. That pre-season is all about the trialists and, you know, trying to see how those new players gel into the team. And it's a really exciting time. And we talked about it last week on the podcast.
But as well,
for us,
you can't get carried away as well.
No, you can't, but it is exciting.
It is, yeah.
It hasn't stopped for us, but it's still exciting.
To the point where if we lose 4-0 on Saturday, it doesn't mean anything. It's all about fitness.
And Andy's obviously said that in his interviews and
exactly.
In his programme notes as well.
As well as if we beat Millwall 6-0.
Well, exactly. It's the same.
Can't read into it.
Game.
Exactly.
You can't. It's all about the fitness. It's all about giving the players an opportunity to gel together as well. Now, of course, as we've mentioned, one of those is Teddy Sharman-Lowe. We had the pleasure of catching up with him when he signed. Here's what he had to say. Teddy Sharman-Lowe, welcome to Bromley Football Club. How does it feel to have signed on loan?
Yeah, it's really good. Just excited to get going, play some games and get some experience in the non-league.
And talking about the start of your career, you represented your hometown club, Leicester City. Was it always goalkeeping for you? Did you play in any other positions as a youngster?
I was centre midfield for a little bit at Sunday League, but Leicester I was just in goal, and then it just around 11 or 12 I just started really grinding out goalkeeping.
And you made the move to Burton Albion after that, prior to your move to Chelsea. Before we talk in depth about Chelsea, how did the move come about for you?
After getting released from Leicester, I had a couple of weeks out of football. I was not in a good state of mind, but after that I just needed to play again, so Burton took me in and made me who I am today.
And just reflecting on your time at Chelsea at 20 years old, still very early on in your career, particularly as a goalkeeper, but it must be brilliant to be able to test yourselves against the very best in the game.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think training every day with them is what I need, and just the level of training is just so good, so it works perfectly for me.
And you had a couple of loan spells, one of which was at Havant and Waterlooville, where you had a really successful season last year. How would you reflect on that?
I think it's what I needed. I think I played a year and a half at under-21s, and I didn't really want to do that again, so I wanted to play some men's football, and I got out and had a good half a year there.
And did the standard of that level surprise you at all?
It did, yeah. Like, even in training, like little things like that I didn't expect, and then in games, like it was still quite tough to adapt to it, but it was, yeah, I thought it was really good.
And during your time at Havant Waterlooville, you played with Josh Pasley, who you link up with again now. Looking forward to playing with him.
Yeah, no, definitely. I get on with him as a player and a person, so I look forward to that.
And moving on to Bromley, obviously you're coming in to work with a manager who is a goalkeeper, which is quite unique. Is that something that excites you?
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I think the way that you will be able to work with me and talk with me, the way that other managers can't, I think it'll be really beneficial.
And obviously you're a player that was in demand, so what was it that made you feel Bromley was a right fit for you?
I think facilities here, I think play style, obviously the manager, goalkeeper coach Brannan, I think everything about it is just appealing and made me want to come here.
You've represented England at various age levels, starting at under 17 and recently had a brilliant time with the under 20s at the World Cup. That must have been an incredible experience.
Yeah,
for yourself and very proud for your family as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's the pinnacle. It's playing for your country is just amazing, and I'm prideful for every time I wear the shirt.
You've had your first training session today, and you've had your first look around the surroundings, which you've commented on already. How did it go today?
I thought it was really good. I was really shocked. I didn't know about the facilities before I came, so when I turned up, I thought it was just so good, and the training was fun, but it's still serious, of course.
So we're talking here on the Monday. Saturday sees our first home pre-season game. We've got a couple of games lined up in the week as well. Looking forward to that, getting underway, and obviously meeting all the fans as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it'll be good. Get some minutes in and hopefully show the fans what I'm going to be doing for the rest of the season.
And just finally, what are your aims for the next season?
I think as a team we want to get promotion. Definitely that's what we're pushing for. But as on a personal, it's just play a lot of games, keep clean sheets, just play well and do the club good.
And you will have trained with Grant Smith today, who is a very well-established goalkeeper at this level. Excited to be working with him as well as Brannan this season?
Yeah, no, definitely. He showed me his class today in training. I think every day we're going to be pushing each other and just fighting it for the shirt.
Well, Teddy, welcome to Bromley Football Club. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, brilliant to hear from Teddy, and I know for a fact that I'm looking forward to seeing him play alongside Grant as well. We've got two great goalkeepers, as we keep saying here, really looking forward to seeing them battle it out and, of course, work close together to push each other and really have that competition for places. Absolutely great stuff. Now, we summarised the comings and goings for you last week, but, of course, during this stage of the summer, during this stage of pre-season, there are, of course, other moves going on, and you know, subsequently there have been other moves. We just talked about Teddy, for example, coming in, and there was another player who moved on, that being David Smith, who joined Folkestone Invicta, the club he signed from originally when he arrived at Hayes Lane for an undisclosed fee. Listen, I think all that's there to say is we wish David the very best of luck.
Yeah.
He was a real character and a great person to have around the place. And
he was.
I've no doubt that he will go back and smash it at Folkestone.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame it didn't work out. I remember when he first signed for us, I don't think you were there, were you, Matt?
I was on holiday, yeah.
Yeah, so he he came in with his family, his friends, and he I think Andy was in, but he wasn't shown like the new facilities or anything. So I think there was only a couple of us in the office at the time. So I took him round the new gym, sort of showed him what's in the Glen Beverley stand, and just his face just lit up the whole time. And I think he said I won't name them, but he looked around, I think he looked around a League Two club and another top National League club, and he compared our facilities to theirs, and he was just saying how amazing it was. And it was a breath of fresh air, really, because, you know, I think players coming in, obviously we've set the bar now. We like, we sign players on loan from EFL clubs, or we sign well-established National League players, and I think they come in, obviously they are surprised and grateful with where they are and stuff. But I think David was in a different category, really. He came in and it was just, he was so raring to get going, and it's such a shame that it didn't work out.
It is, but you know, it's really good for David that he's been able to go back to where he really made his name.
They love him
in non-league. He's very well loved there.
Yeah.
And look, he was a great character, like I said, and a great person to have around the place.
But there's still time. There's still time.
He's a young player, and I've no doubt that he'll go on to make a real success of his career.
Yeah.
And we wish him all the very best of luck. And hopefully that's an insight for people who, understandably, you know, who haven't met David and know David. You know, he worked hard and he gave it his best shot.
It's such a step up.
It's a big gap, yeah.
I remember when the lads were training at Norman Park, that's when the fitness sort of, that's how you know who's the fittest in the team, who's not. And they do that every year. They just run laps, don't they? They just run laps around the whole of Norman Park.
Couldn't think of anything worse.
When Dave first came, it was a bit of a struggle for him to get into it, and it shows the gap between what he's used to and what he's got now, and that probably shows the loan spells that it took the pressure off him being here, being around players that are so used to playing full-time football that he could go back to, where did he go?
Hastings,
that was it. He scored a couple of goals there, didn't he?
Yeah, he did well.
I think he had two other loan spells as well.
Yeah, Margate and Hornchurch, yeah.
Sometimes it just doesn't work. And I think George went on loan, and you know, you can't complain with what the goal return that George managed to get at Welling and Slough. But I think that probably didn't help the situation either. And obviously, it's probably the best for everyone, really.
Well, I mean, when you look at the striking department, you've got Cheek, you've got Marriott, you've got Alexander, and potentially others to come as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be very difficult to break through. And sometimes, you know, you've just got to take a step back and go back to what you know. And look, David, we wish you all the best, and thanks for everything you brought to us here as you were a continuing beacon of positivity and a top man. Anyway, we move on, and the first team were in action behind closed doors at Millwall on Tuesday. So minutes in the tank for a number of players and some young players thrown in there as well, which was great to see. Of course, it being behind closed doors, none of us were there, etc. No. So can't comment too much. But look, this is a top championship side who were not far away from the championship playoffs last year. In fact, it was only the last day that it was decided. So... yeah, thank you to Millwall. In all seriousness, Josh, it's a very tough time for everyone connected with the club at the minute. And I know we were very keen to pay our respects to the late John Berylson, chairman of Millwall Football Club. And Alan Dunn was particularly emotional about that one, given his connection and all the years he spent under John at Millwall, and Byron Webster as well. And, you know, there's been a lot of an outpouring of emotion from the football community. So we extend our best wishes to everyone associated with Millwall Football Club. But Josh, like we were saying, it's a great challenge for the team, isn't it? You're not going to get much tougher a test than that as your first game together.
Well, that's what Andy said in his interview, didn't he? He was like, it doesn't matter about the result. If you do, it just shows you what level you're at fitness-wise, footballing-wise, going into playing, you know, our upcoming home friendlies. And I think it shows early on, because then when we're playing, well, I don't know how many of those players will be coming back to Hayes Lane from that Millwall side, but if it's similar type of players, you can compare yourself in a few weeks' time. And if not, we've got Palace and everyone else to sort of, you know, compare the levels from the first time they've kicked a ball since Chesterfield away to that point before Halifax. So, yeah, the result doesn't matter. And I think it was good for the lads to finally get out there. And, you know, you can play training games all you want on the training pitch against your teammates, but it's coming up against oppositions, especially Millwall, like you said, they did well last season. So, yeah.
It's, I don't think I can sum it up very much better than that, Josh, at all. But, yeah, brilliant experience for the players. And, of course, brilliant to kind of continue and build on that relationship with Millwall, our neighbours and our friends off the field as well. So thank you to everyone at Millwall Football Club for making that happen. And, yeah, a good challenge for the boys.
Yeah.
As was the Glenbeverley Memorial Cup match on the same day away in the evening. And, of course, anyone who was absent from that played in the Millwall game, which was the whole first team.
Yeah.
The only first team player who could be associated last season was Sol Kader. And we'll come on to him in a minute. But it was a brilliant opportunity for these youngsters to show what they're about. Now, Dulwich, if you look at the players they've got, there are a number of ex-Bromley players in that team, first off. Secondly, plenty of Football League, plenty of National League experience in that squad. And they were, you know, these young boys from our under-18s and under-21s, a couple of trialists in there as well. We already talked about the goalkeeper earlier on. They really matched Dulwich in a lot of areas and, of course, came away with the victory on penalties. Josh, we were there. And I have to say, the character shown to equalise late on was something special. And we've already talked about it happening a couple of years ago, you know, in a very similar circumstance and us retaining the cup back then. It's brilliant to see that the young players, which was virtually two separate 11s in the first and midway through the second half, had that consistency to push through and get the draw against a very experienced Dulwich side under a good manager in Hakan Hayrettin.
Yeah, no, I think over the past few years, obviously, Andy keeps saying in his interviews and stuff after, you know, we've had Ben Crowhouse and Kellen Fisher last season about, you know, the exciting young talent we've got at the club. And I think the, you know, the FA Youth Cup success in the past 2-3 years probably shows that as well. And obviously the under 23s, which are now the 21s that are constantly competing for a top spot in the league as well. And, you know, it's no surprise really. And I think Kellen and Ben aside as well, we obviously had Latif last year as well come through. And, you know, we also have Frankie Vidd as well, who moved on to Millwall, who played for our under-18s. And, you know, I'm not really that surprised, to be fair. From, you know, I obviously thought that we'd lose on Tuesday night just purely because of the experience and, you know, the players that Dulwich have. And, you know, they had obviously Adrian Clifton up front, who we know well. And, yeah, I mean, he's got bags of experience in the National League. And, you know, he didn't cause that much of a problem, to be fair. And, you know, I think our lads did really, really well. And it's credit to Jamel and, you know, those behind the scenes in the academy and the under-21s.
Yeah, very much so, Josh. Very well summed up again. And a real proud moment, I think. And actually, the fact that it was in Glyn's memory makes it even more special. And, you know, Jamel said, and you'll hear from him in a minute, that the players were reminded of how important it is to the club earlier on. And just to, you know, talk about Glyn and that team selection, Glyn loved nothing more than a young player coming through the ranks and being given an opportunity. And he would have been so proud to see so many of those young players doing themselves proud, doing the club proud, and ultimately bringing the cup back to Hayes Lane via the back of the car and then my home and then back here in the morning. I was on trophy duty that night. Josh, you guarded the trophy really well on the way there, and Ronan guarded it on the way back.
Oh, Ronan. I wouldn't trust Ronan with the trophy.
Well, I had to, unfortunately. Then I had to look after it on my own whilst driving, which was...
Well,
yeah.
But yeah, no, it was a good night. It was a good night.
I'm really glad we did the commentary as well, because it's great for these young players to kind of get that coverage and exposure. It was a late decision of us to do it. Thank you to everyone who listened. And I was chatting to Paul Rich earlier about the banter we were having back and forth. We're back, everyone, and get ready for that banter again. We will be covering all of the pre-season games, minus Dartford, on the commentary, so do join us for
those. We must say, though, before we hand over to Jamel, that I know we said it on commentary, but one of your community coaches were playing on Tuesday night.
Great point, Josh. That is Reece.
It's not really community corner yet, but we can go for it.
We can dip a toe in the community lake, if you like. So Reece Wyborn has been one of our community coaches for a number of months now whilst he played in the under-23s. He does some of our coaching in school, some of our coaching here at Hayes Lane, whilst being part of the under-23 setup as it was last year, and sort of occasionally playing with the first team. He made a couple of brief appearances in the first team pre-season schedule last year. He is now signed as a first-year pro and is playing in those matches. We'll be bringing you more information on that in the coming days. But he's now training with the first team day in, day out, and coaching with the community scheme, which is incredible.
Even today, and this is just a coincidence that we're talking about him, but he came into the office and he was talking about having to do... He had training in the afternoon with the first team, and then straight after that, he had to go to a school. I think I'm right.
So he came in
and he was like... he was saying, oh, training might go over and I may not get to the school on time and stuff. And it's just to go from, you know, training with the first team and then switch to your coaching duties to go to a local school. And it must be good for him as well. He's a local lad and, you know, it gets his name out. And I remember when we did was it the community Christmas party, and he was there in his community stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously you've got Sol Kader, Tunji, all of his 23s teammates, they were all in their first year pro kit, and they were signing autographs and stuff, and Reece was on community duty, even though he's part of that as well.
And he's now part of the first team, and breaking news, he did get to the school on time.
He did.
Which is exactly what we need.
But no, he's a really nice lad as well. He played really well on Tuesday.
Went up against Anthony Jeffrey and Luke Wadio, who are two wingers who have, Luke's case, an ex-Bromley player, played for various National League and National League South clubs, a very good, gifted footballer, scored a good goal. And also Anthony Jeffrey, who started out Arsenal as a professional, you know, has played for various non-league clubs and was at Wrexham a year and a half, 2 years ago. So he did really well up against those seasoned professionals. Mm. Good luck to Reece and the rest of the team.
But you do see, not to big the young lads up, but you do see aspects of Kellen Fisher in Reece.
Definitely.
The way he plays you see, just...
Give him a bit of time and we're going to see his quality, definitely.
As well as the rest of the lads that play Tuesday. Really, really good set of players.
Great potential in that group for sure. And who better than to sum that up than head coach Jamel? Here's what he had to say following that penalty shootout victory at Champion Hill.
Well, Jamel, what a night. It's a pre-season friendly, but of course the Glenbeverley Memorial Cup means a lot to us at Bromley, and it means a lot for these young players to have won it tonight. They've all done themselves very proud.
Yeah, massively. I mean, like you said, it's a really important cup for the club, and the players were told that before the game. They knew what it meant to the club and what Glyn meant to the club. And also for them, it was a great opportunity to showcase their qualities. Everyone speaks so highly of our academy, of what we've achieved and the players that have come through it. But it's important on nights like these to actually show the people that are here, show others how good they can be and compete against seasoned players at a level these boys wish to play at.
So to paint a picture for those that weren't here tonight, I guess the team was made up of under-18s, under-21s and a couple of trialists as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. So the boys we've kept on from last year's 18s into the 21s, some from the 21s. So we range from about 17 to 19 years old tonight, the oldest player being 19 years old. So we're a young side.
Well, absolutely incredible, like I say, coming up against players that have played, you know, many times in the Football League. Yeah. A lot of former Bromley players here as well who played for Bromley at the top level of non-league. They didn't look out of place.
No, not at times. We really matched them. with the ball, we kept the ball well, we hurt them, and I thought we dealt with their pressure quite well in patches. There were times when the level showed itself and their physical capabilities overpowered us in certain duels and moments like that, but the boys didn't give up and they were brave in a lot of moments, which was really pleasing. I think we still need to improve, and it's great exposing ourselves to opposition like this, because we'll only get better and the group will only get better, and we've got to keep pushing and keep striving to improve.
There was a really good support from the Bromley fan base tonight, and it's brilliant for some of them actually to be able to see this young talent and appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's become part of the club's identity now to bring through young players, and it's always good because these are local boys. It connects the fans with the club. And also for the boys, it's a good exposure. I know it's a friendly, but to play against, I don't know how many people were here, but there was a decent crowd in. For some of them, it'll be the biggest crowd they've played in front of. And it exposes them to what real football can be like. And I said to them, that's just a taste of it. They've got to keep improving, keep going, and try and break into the first team.
And they were tenacious against some really big physical players tonight, which I guess is the identity that Andy talks about instilling in the whole club. It's done in the academy, and they come through ready-made for this kind of football.
Yeah, they've got to be competitive. They've got to be competitive. That's the nature of football, and they've got to be brave. Because that's what when they take risks, they'll get rewards for it. So, yeah.
And, of course, we did find ourselves a goal down. Sol Kader with a brilliant free kick, almost took the back of the net off. Great strike.
Yeah, it's quite funny. I don't see Sol take many free kicks. So when he took the ball, we were quite surprised. But it was so close, and he struck it so well. I think it went through the wall and caught the keeper off guard. But it was such a great strike. And that's Sol's quality. In the final third, he's deadly. He scores goals at every level he's played at. Every test he's had, he has scored goals. So he's one to watch, and he's one that could break through for sure.
It felt like deja vu. We were talking about it earlier. The same thing happened here a couple of years ago. Bromley equalised late on and then took it to penalties and won. It was Finn Roberts with the equaliser this time. A real proud moment for him and his family who are in the stand here.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Finn works so hard. He grafts so much. Listen, he's got a lot of quality as well. Like, he really puts himself forward in terms of the work he does, the extras he does, his approach to the game, and he deserved it. He deserved a moment like that. And for Finn, I know that will be just a taste. He'll want to go again and achieve even more. And I think it shows the fact that the boys stayed in the game. There were times when we were up against it and Dulwich had a lot of possession and they put balls in our box with the two strikers up top in the second half, and they were playing into feet, they were crossing the ball a lot, and we had to defend our penalty box well. But the boys dug in, they never stopped working, they never stopped believing that they could get something from the game. And just before, there was a few good passes where we broke lines and got into the final third, and the trialist who took the ball and carried it from the right to the left and played it wide showed the bravery that was instilled from the boys from the get-go, because he ball carried 20 yards to find Finn, and when Finn got the ball, there was only one thought in his mind. He was getting a yard and he was striking it, and it went in. So yeah,
absolutely brilliant to see. As was, you look behind the goal for the penalty shootout. The penalty shootout's one thing in itself for these young players, but to have all those people behind the goal waving and shouting, but some of the penalties, all of the penalties were really, really good, actually.
Yeah. Minus Charlie's, that went over the bar, but that's fine. It's just exposing them to another side, like the next side of the game, and conditioning them for what is there to come. We work hard and we see the quality of the boys on the back pitch at Bromley, but in our own environment every day, it's easy to recreate the quality they do every day, and playing in a suburban league where we don't get as many fans and the opposition might not be isn't as high quality as tonight. But to do it tonight with the fans there, with a bit of pressure put on them, it's going to make them better for the future. So it's really good to see.
Jamel, proud night for everyone at the club. Thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no, it was a good night, and I think it was good for Jamel as well that he can take credit for that night, but he was being watched by Andy, Dunny, Steve Harris was in there in the dugout with him as well. And it was just good for him to take control of that. And there's changes to the managerial team, I think, for the 21s next season. And, you know, Jamel is going to play a key role in that. And yeah, he deserves it. And it shows with the Youth Cup success as well. You know, Steve's progressed to the first team, and you know, Jamel puts the work in and he's following in his footsteps.
He is, and he's such a humble, down-to-earth guy as well.
Oh yeah,
gives the players all the credit, but he is a fantastic coach. Someone that's very quiet and reserved, but when you see him coach, he definitely adds another dimension to it. He's a very, very talented coach, and very lucky to have many of those here at Bromley Football Club, in the academy, in the community trust, across the club, really. So absolutely brilliant to see. And great to catch up with Jamel. It's always brilliant to hear from the people behind this young talent and those nurturing it as well. So goals from Sol Cader and Finn Roberts for Bromley on the night, and then a 4-3 penalty shootout victory saw the Glenbeverley Memorial Cup return to Hayes Lane and take its rightful place in the trophy cabinet in Broomfield's Bar and Kitchen. Now, we're going to talk about one of the players briefly who featured and scored on that night, Sol Cader. Yeah. We've talked about the goal. Josh, what a strike. You put it out on social media. Nearly took the back of the net off with that one.
It was a rocket.
That's one way of putting it.
It was a rocket.
And I think from the moment the ball was placed down, there's only one person who's going
to
take it.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I think, didn't Jamel say in his interview that he's not really a free kick taker, is he? So,
no, you wouldn't know it, would you?
And stepped up and, yeah, you did have that feeling. You were like, he's going to...
Perfectly executed. Just between the edge of the penalty area and the D.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing technique. And the goalkeeper and the wall had no chance. It was so powerfully struck.
He's a good player.
He is a very good player. And Josh, you had the pleasure of catching up with him this week. So here's what Sol Cader had to say.
Let's start off by reflecting on Tuesday night. How was that for you?
Yeah, it was good. Obviously, the Glenbeverley Memorial is always something very highly thought of at Bromley and obviously Dulwich. And obviously 2 years ago, whenever it was, they Bromley took a majority of their first team, whereas this time it was a much younger squad, obviously, being said oldest being 19 and then 16, 17, 18 year olds. And to go to a place that have just come down from the National South, who have got experienced players at that level that have been earning, you know, a living off the game since, you know, they first started playing, it showed the level of the under-23s and the academy setup that Bromley have, because like we can go toe-to-toe with most step-three teams. And obviously, no matter if it's pre-season, middle-season, end-season, it's always nice to win a bit of silverware. And it's also good to see, obviously, Woody and Dunny and Steve and all of them behind Jamel to show that they support the boys.
Yeah, and speaking of Jamel, he says that you don't really... you know, set up for free kicks, but you did on Tuesday and scored an absolute worldie.
It was one of them games where, you know, you're not getting a lot of the ball. And I remember I got fouled and I was like, I'm just going to have it. Like, I'm just going to put my foot through it. And then it went in. And honestly, I wanted to go off running celebrating, but I remember it's pre-season friendly. But yeah, it's always nice to see him go in. But yeah, I was glad I took it in the end, because a few of the boys tried to take me off it. I was like, nah, no chance this time.
So for those who don't know, could you give us a bit of background on your career so far?
Yeah, so I played grassroots in Milton Keynes, where my mum lives. I lived there since I was about 16, and then my dad moved up here. So he got me... I literally went to an open trial at Bromley under 14s, 15s. Got in from the open trial, and I remember I still went to school in Milton Keynes, so I used to get the train at like 5 o'clock in the morning the day after training to get back to school. And then obviously... joined the scholarship program, which was when I moved down here full time, and then just been at Bromley ever since.
And obviously, you've been within the academy, and you were part of that historic FA Youth Cup side the past couple of years. How was that for you?
Unreal. As a young kid, it really gives you the feeling of being professional. You know, the pre-game meals, the getting on the coach, playing in the stadiums. I remember the first year when we beat Portsmouth in the second round. That was my first start in Youth Cup. And I remember, you know, walking out at Fratton Park, big stadium, ex-Premier League stadium, and obviously to win it how we did. And then the second year, when you're a bit more comfortable with it all, you're not the younger one, so you can take in a bit more. And I remember Forest Green. I still can't get over it. I still think about it sometimes.
That was an unreal game.
Honestly. I still can't put into words how it happened. You know, 3-1 down in 1 minute to go, and then 7 minutes of injury time with 4-3 up. Like, no matter where I go in my career, I think that will always be one of the top moments, because it's made in a movie. Like, you couldn't write that.
So I remember that night, and I was I was at home doing the updates from there, and Ronan was sending me the updates, and it was 3-1 down, like you said, and then he just went, we're winning 4-3.
It was just bang, 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 goal.
We're not.
Honestly, it was the best football thing I've ever done, experienced.
So after that, you made the step up to the 23s, where you played under Steve Harris and Lucas Gatti.
Mm-hmm.
How would you assess their, you know, how much of an impact they've had on your career so far?
Massively, you know, it's hard because when you're 18, you're still a kid, really.
Yeah.
You're still playing against kids, and blah, 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 blah. But when you move to take that step up to the 23, you are playing against a lot older, a lot more physical, sometimes men's team as Dulwich on Tuesday. So they really helped, not just me, all of the boys that took the step up at the same time, the likes of Ben, the likes of Kel. They really took us in and, you know, nurtured us through the step up, taught us how and what to do at certain points, you know, how to play the game ugly, really, because it's not all about tiki-taka, you know. In men's football, you know, you've got to run the clock down, you've got to play ugly to get the win. And I think that's the main thing that they taught us, was to just, like, it, apart from Youth Cup, I, as a kid, you know, winning's not everything, you know. Everyone knows that. It's, but when you get a bit older into 23s and obviously first team, it's all about winning no matter what. So I think that's how they helped us, just by putting us in that environment.
We've also got to give Met Police and Craig Wanderers credit as well. How mm-hmm. was your time there?
Yeah, I loved it. It was my first real introduction of league men's football. Obviously, 23s, you're playing against men, but they're not, you know. So to be in that environment where you're playing for a reason, you're playing, you know, the money that they get, they're earning a living off that game. And what happens to the Cray Wanderers or Met Police, it impacts their life. So that was a real good eye-opener for me, that football's all not just, you know, having a laugh with your mates, it's getting down and winning games. And obviously, as a young kid, going into a men's game, it roughens you up a bit. You know, they pinch you, they kick you, they step on you. So I think that time of Cray Wanderers especially, because that was my first sort of involvement in men's football, that really toughened me up. And I remember coming back the next year just ready to get beat up, pretty much.
And then after that, you've been in and around the first team. How's that experience been with senior players for you?
It's been amazing. You learn so much. Obviously, the squad's full of experienced pros. You know, you've got the likes of Webbo, who's been playing in the, you know, Championship League One for the majority of his career. You got Cheeky, National League all-time goal scorer. So you're surrounded by these professionals who have done this for years and years and years, who have just gained experience and gained wisdom in the game. And to be able to just see the little details that they bring into training and bring into match days, it's improved me a lot as a player, because, you know, there's some things as a kid you don't really know. Like, it's hard to give examples, but some things you do need an experienced player to be like, this is how you do it. This is, you know, like when you're getting on top of yourself and you're not having the best game, as a kid you're like, oh, like panicking. They're like, don't worry about it. And just being around them sort of professionals and see how they conduct themselves around the place and on the pitch is helped me a lot.
And obviously in the summer, one of your mates, one of your ex-teammates, Callum Fisher, joined Norwich. Have you spoken to him since he's moved on?
Yeah, he's loving it in the private jets and the sleeping chambers and that, rubbing it in our faces. But yeah, he deserved it. You know, he had an opportunity. I think a few boys got injured, so he got his opportunity in the first team and he just ran away with it. You know, he never looked back and he deserves everything. It was a matter of time whether he's going to go or not to somewhere higher. But yeah, he deserves it all, and I'm happy for him.
And that must give you a little bit of boost going into this season as well, knowing that that can happen to Kellen, Ben. Obviously, you're in and around it now as well. So that must give you a lot of confidence going into this season.
Yeah, without that, obviously, you see Kel and you see Ben at the back end of last season. It shows that the gaffer's not scared to put in young talent onto the team. And if you're good enough, you're old enough. And that's what they say all the time. It's not about age. It's not about experience. If you're good enough to play, you're good enough to play. It's as simple as that. And seeing them do well, and, you know, Kellen getting team of the season for National League, is really, it gives you a boost, because you think, well, if he can do it, why can't I? And then it gives you more motivation, so you're not, you know, left behind.
Overall, how has pre-season been for you?
Tough.
Yeah.
Very tough.
A lot of running,
a lot of going to parks and up hills, and yeah, it's been horrible, but that's what pre-season is all about, because once you've done the 6 weeks of pre-season, you can worry about the season, where it's a little bit less tough. It's a little bit less draining, because pre-season, you've been off for a month. You need to get back into it, or else you'll be blowing by the time the first game comes around. So yeah, pre-season's been very tough, but I've enjoyed being back. I've enjoyed being back on a pitch, being back in the change rooms, in the players' lounge. Just get the environment back. I've enjoyed it.
And obviously there's a proven pathway from the academy up to the 23s, which are now the 21s, into the first team. What advice would you give to our current academy, you know, pupils about the rise between there and the first team?
Don't quit. I know a few boys that wouldn't get in the team, and then they just thought, it's not for me. When that happens, you know, I remember when I was a first year, I couldn't get in the team. I was on the bench most games, and you just need to stick to it. If you're passionate about football and you want to become a footballer, and you know you want to wear your name on the back of the shirt and play in front of thousands of people, then you need to stick to it. You need to have a bit of a backbone, and not worry about if someone says you're not good enough. Just try and prove them wrong. Not take it lying down and go, oh yeah, okay, like, I'm not good enough. You need to prove to them. Use it as extra motivation to get better. And then when you are playing in front of thousands of people, your name in the back of the shirt, you can go like, look at me now. Yeah. Ooh, I am good enough. I proved it to everyone. And then you can enjoy it. But if anyone coming up through the academy or any academy, just keep going and don't settle.
Well, that's a very nice chat, Josh, and brilliant to get Sol on the podcast for the first time.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, he and you did a great job. So
thank
you for that.
Thank you.
And now moving on to somebody who has been coaching with the club since under eights, made his way up through the age groups into the youth academy, then into the academy, then the under 23s, and now the first team. Of course, you know, it's Steve Harris, a man who has been associated with the football club for a long time, for many years. And his hard work, it's testament to the man, isn't it, that he's made his way all the way up to the first team.
The man who switched Kellen Fisher's position.
That's right. And what we said, and I said to Steve in the interview, was Kellen is always giving Steve credit for that in any interview that he does, which is lovely. And Steve talks about when he met with Kellen last week when Norwich played at Barnet. And you know how Kellen was quite critical of his performance, but Steve thought he did really well. And again, that shows, you know, that's a remarkable attribute for Kellen, that he's not got any ego. He always wants to improve. And also, you know, what Steve has instilled into him as a coach across the age groups for Kellen. So Steve is always a great person to sit down and chat to.
Yeah.
And this one was a pleasure yet again, Josh. Here's what Steve had to say. Steve, welcome back to the podcast. It's been a good week. We'll talk about that in a moment. First off, it's been a couple of weeks back for the boys at pre-season now. How's everyone been so far?
Yeah, it's been a really good first couple of weeks. Really positive. The boys come back in good spirits. Everyone's come back fit and flying. New boys have had to adjust and get up to their levels, what everyone else is at. But it's been a real good 2 weeks. We've had some real hard work. All the long stuff, the running, the slogging, what the boys had to do has been done now. So it's just more ball work and tactical work now. So, yeah, we're getting to near the end of pre-season now. The games start coming thick and fast. I think the boys look forward to them rather than running around the fields in the park. So, yeah, it's been really good so far, really positive.
I was just going to say that that's everyone's least favourite part of pre-season. Everyone must be really pleased it's out of the way now.
Oh, I'm 100%. As a coach, it's a lot easier telling everyone to keep running as fast as you can than actually going out and doing it. So it gives me great pleasure just standing there saying, come on, well done, rather than actually being the one that has to go around and run and do it. But to be fair, every single one of them, they've just got on with it and done with what we've had to ask. And they know it's got to be done, because if you miss this time of year, it shows during the season. This is the time where you bank all your work or you get all your good stuff in. So when you go into the midway during the season, your fitness comes through. So the boys know that and they've just knuckled down and get on with it.
And we saw yourself and the management team and the players at the open training session last week, which was, I guess, a great insight for the fans into how you structure a training session. Andy was very open in explaining what he was doing and the reasoning behind it, as well as, of course, the fans being able to see the new players, particularly for the first time.
Yeah, firstly for the fans, I think it's brilliant, because obviously they've had no football for a few weeks now that we've been off for a break, so they want to get back to the club as soon as they can to see the new players and see who's who and who's what. So firstly for them, I think it's a great experience. Secondly for players, to have a bit of an audience while they're playing and they're coaching and they're training, I think it's really good for them. It gives them another little step to in their training sessions. And two, just shows the structure that we work to. We don't just go out and play football. There's meanings behind everything we do. There's every little drill that we do, every little session is geared to the way we want to play and the way we want the boys to do. So I think all in all, it was a really good day for everyone. Yeah, brilliant.
And something that we've seen in recent weeks is the emphasis on the young players, and actually one of them was reflecting on their achievements from the past year. You were a key part of the Academy Awards last week, which was a really nice evening, wasn't it? From under-12s in the Youth Academy right up until the under-21s now and the first-year pros. It was a really nicely put-together evening.
Yeah, I think it's coming Friday just made me visually see exactly what all the hard work has been through over the last few years to get this club set up and into going in the right direction, because all of a sudden we had boys at the age of 12 and boys at the age of 20 all together, all representing Bromley Football Club and all following this pathway. They want to be the next players to play for our first team. So there was parents, there was players in there that I've known for the last 5-6 years who I kept telling them how good Bromley was going to be and what we was going to do and the structure behind everything and what we was building. But to actually see them there now and see it actually happening, and we've actually getting players into the first team, and we're players are on a good pathway, they've got the facilities, it all seems to come together, and it was a great night for everyone just to see the pathway that we're creating here through our youth academy, through our academy, and now you're seeing players coming into our first team, which is brilliant.
And something I asked you about on the night is something we've got to talk about now, and I know everyone will be really keen to hear from you. Kellen Fisher, when he talks about his development as a player, he always gives you a lot of credit, and I know that you've worked with him over a number of years. So I know you said there was a tear in your eye last week. It's quite emotional, especially for yourself and for everyone around here. But you must be extremely proud of Kellen, and it's going to be exciting to see what he can achieve now.
Massively. Now, just hearing everyone talk about him, he's like the talk of the town because he has done so well, and like he's the flagship for now for every kid that comes through this academy and the youth academy, that they should look to him and go like, that's what we inspire to be. I know when kids are at a certain age, they get asked by pro clubs to come in and go and be there, and we keep trying to tell them that we're delivering here exactly what you can get elsewhere in football league clubs. We're delivering same syllabuses, we've got better coaches, we've got better facilities, we've got a pathway into our first team. So it's just getting that message across, and when something like Kellen happens, it just shows you, and it just believes, and it makes you visually see, and everyone else can believe that there's a chance for their son to get here and get into our first team. Kellen, yeah, like perfect role model for everybody. Come through the door, his work ethic, his attitude was first class, and obviously he's had quality. I was just fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time to be his coach for a couple of years that made him help develop. We went and watched him at Norwich last week, made his debut at Barnet. I spoke to him at half time. He's really humble. He said he didn't think he'd done very well, but actually he did. But that's just the way he is. He wants to be better and better and better. So he's been in there and he's been training with the first team as soon as he's gone in and done it. So that's down for him now. They've got a pathway for him over the next 5 years to hopefully get him in the first team and then for him to develop. So good luck to him. That is brilliant for the club, brilliant for Kellen, brilliant for everyone all round.
Let's talk about Tuesday then, away to Dulwich. Now, a pre-season friendly is obviously made a bit more sentimental by the fact this is the Glenbeverley Memorial Cup, someone that was very well loved here at Bromley Football Club, and actually someone that had a real passion for seeing young players come through into the first team, and particularly from internally from the academy. What an achievement for that young group of players on Tuesday to go toe-to-toe with a Dulwich team full of ex-Football League players, ex-National League players, and actually come out on top. Yeah. It was incredible, really, the spirit, particularly to equalise at the end, and actually pretty similar to what happened a couple of years ago, actually, at Champion Hill.
Yeah, it just shows, it just gives our boys a platform for them to go and show and showcase their talent. Speaking to Jamal a few days before, like, he was a bit concerned that we're going to Dulwich and they're step three. They've got some real good players. They've got players that have won leagues at different levels and earn a lot of money out of football. But these boys always rise to a challenge when it's put in front of them. And we was all at the game and they had to wear it for a little while, but they dug deep and they found a way to go again. And it just shows the talent we're bringing through here. They can be put in front of anything and then give them a chance and they will show you how good they are. And I think that's the whole 22 of them who played. That was fantastic for the club. And for it to go to penalties and we had 17-year-olds step up and take penalties in front of 600-odd fans for a trophy for Bromley Football Club. So what a great learning curve for them. And in fact, for Glenbeverley, you say youngsters, I think we ended the pitch, his next door neighbour, who's now 17-year-old, who he knew for years, was playing in our team that night. So the link with that is just fantastic all the way through. So brilliant for everyone around. They played two now, the 21s. They played Hastings and Dulwich, and they've showed they can cope with players at this age. So a brilliant learning curve in front of fans, in front of people, players that have played in a lot higher level than what they have. So that's just a start for them. And hopefully we can find a few of them getting into the first team as well.
And finally, it was your first full season with the first team last year, a really, really good one overall. Looking forward to this year, obviously the aim is to improve on last year, which was, as I say, a very good season. Do you think it's going to be a more competitive league now? We've seen the likes of Wrexham and Notts County promoted.
The National League's competitive, full stop. Like, we had a fantastic year last year. We went close, the closest we've ever been, but... hopefully again that's another little stepping block for us. We want to go again, but everyone starts on 0 points. Everyone's got to play their 46 games, whatever it is. They've got to get the points back on the ball, so it's a real tough slog, and we know that as coaching staff we're prepared for that. We know what it takes to get the boys at the level when we need to get it. We'd be looking to bring more players in to add the quality to the squad, but it's a real chance this year for us to step on again. If we can improve again on what we did last year, then that holds us in good stead. Like, getting to a playoff and actually winning a playoff game, brilliant experience for us now that we know we can do that, we can get to that level. But if we can go another step further, and that's our aim this year, is go further and further. So a real good first year for me personally. In the first time, it's been about points and not about development. I've always been about development kids, but this year it's about 3 points, which has another pressure, which I've seen to thrive, and I really like that. So been a good year all around for the club personally and players as well. So let's hope this year we can just continue and be better than last year.
Well, Steve, always great to catch up. Thanks so much for your time.
Pleasure.
So, with last season becoming something of a distant memory and the pre-season fixture schedule just around the corner and the National League launch for 2023...
Sound like you're doing an advert.
24 becoming ever closer.
It's not just football.
I did until you interjected
it's
there.
It's Bromley FC football.
That's very true. It is Bromley FC football. Be here for this pre-season schedule. Tickets are discounted, obviously. Head to the website, bromleyfc.co.uk. Someone... that will be here, Josh, is who we're going to hear from next. Who is it?
Hang on, let me get my list out. I've got a feeling. It's Roy Oliver.
Well, Roy, we're back. As if by magic, it feels like it's flown by for us here anyway. How about you? How's your summer been?
Oh, pretty hectic. But yeah, like yourself, it's once it arrives, it seems... Oh, we only packed up 5 minutes ago, you know, the end of the season, like, but it so soon comes around.
It does, doesn't it? And just before we get started on Roy Remembers, yeah. We are back now, of course, doing the weekly podcast, so you will be back with us on a weekly basis. Just in terms of looking ahead now to the season, obviously, we've talked with you previously about your thoughts on last year. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the team going into the current season? Of course, pre-season starting this Saturday against Fulham, and 5 new signings through the door so far, with obviously... more to come on top of that as well.
Yeah, I think you've always got to be... you've got to trust the managers, I always say. You know, that he gets things right. And it's not easy being a manager. I know that from being a Sunday manager. But I'm pretty hopeful that... positive... that I think the new signings will bed in, and I know we've got a few trialists coming on as well. So, and Shomi was a trialist when he first came to us.
He was, yeah. Good point, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, plenty to look forward to in a pre-season campaign, which is now pretty much upon us in 2 days' time. Yeah. We will be, right now, we will be preparing for the visit of Fulham, which will be an hour and a half away in 2 days' time.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. I'm sure you are as well. What have you got for us this week on Roy Remembers? The floor is yours.
So I'm doing, it's a 1960-61 season when we won the Ishmael League that year. And I found these newspapers with the back page of the Kentish Times underneath a stair carpet when we bought our second home. And it's all about, but I'll give you a little rundown to the story. On Friday night, Wimbledon played Walthamstow. If Walthamstow won, we couldn't win the league. But Wimbledon won. So that left the gate open for us. On Saturday, we played St Albans. And we played St Albans on the Saturday, and we went 1-0 down. We came back to lead 2-1 at half-time. And then we scored a further 2 goals in the second half. And we were 4-1 up, and then they got another goal back to make it 4-2. And there was quite a big crowd down that day, but, yeah, it was quite a remarkable match that was, you know, because especially when Snowball went 1 up, we thought, oh, dear, you know, you look at the negative side of it, you know. But and, of course, Reg Dunmall, who was Bromley's sort of half-back, It was his last season, and he played up until he was about, I think it was about 47, 48 years old.
You wouldn't find that nowadays.
No, no. So, and I remember him because he looked like Bobby Charlton with running around with his hair whisking around because he had quite a bald head, but the hair was just floating around in the breeze.
Absolutely,
yeah. They say he was the most unfortunate player never to get an amateur international cap.
Roy, your knowledge of Bromley Football Club, past and present, everything else is incredible. Even just looking at what you've got in front of you right now, you've got all kinds of newspaper clippings and old programmes. Your archives are unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, I just love it. You know, it's. I say I'm a historian, but I don't know every single thing. But if I don't know it, I'll try and find it out.
Well, it's you and John Self, isn't it?
They've
done a lot of it over the years.
And
Mark Andrews is helping you out now as well.
It's
brilliant to see. And you've always spoke of this as an opportunity to provide the newer fans with a knowledge of how this club has evolved over the years.
I mean, there's been several times where we've almost gone out of business, quite a bit of debts, but the people are rallied around, you know, the committee and the supporters are rallied around to keep the club going, which is so important because, you know, especially with the fire in 92, and that was in November 92, and then we played the rest of the games away from home. And we even played an away game, a home game at Walton and Hersham.
Wow.
A bit further out. Yeah. We couldn't get another ground.
Wow.
Local ground. We were playing at Dulwich and Croydon.
Compare these problems to the problems we have now. It's no comparison, really, is it?
No. I mean, we jumped into a completely different realm now with players now got contracts and they're full-time players. So they haven't got a second job where they can go to, and they're just playing for Bromley.
Would you ever have thought, and I think I've asked you this before, I know what the answer's going to be, but just for everyone's benefit, would you ever have thought when you first started watching Bromley, or even a few years in, that we'd ever be sat here right now with the surroundings that we've got, with the team that we've got, and making the progress that we have?
No way. If you'd have said this... even 20 years ago, people would have said, you need to be locked up, mate. we've come from basically a two-day-a-week. You know, they used to have functions down here in the old days, you know, with drives and things, dark matches and all that. But now we've come to a seven-day-a-week club, and now you've got to get things to fill that up each day to bring in people... and make the club more even progressive, you know, because the more people that come through the turnstiles and the events down here, like we've just had, if we have a guest speaker.
Racking my brains now.
Yeah.
Glenn Hoddle.
We had Glenn Hoddle a few weeks ago, and that was very, very well, and then we're going to have more in the future, and we've had guests going down here. I've also pointed out to who's does the events?
Harriet.
That years ago we used to have sound-alike bands like the Beatles. We had ABBA, so all the
tribute
sort of
acts, tribute
bands and things like that, and that brings in people, and people bring in money.
Absolutely. Very wise words, Roy. Yeah, I'm just thinking about this newspaper clipping you've got in front of you now, the one that you just told us all about.
Yeah, yeah.
A funny story as well as to actually how you came across this.
Yeah. So when we sold our first home, which was a two-bedroom masonette, and we went to buy a three-bedroom house, we got gazumped on one property. We also had one because it had been left to three sons in trust. And we were under pressure from the people who wanted to buy our masonette to get a property. So we bought a house in Penge, Cottenham Road. It's three bedrooms. And the only thing in the house was a stair carpet. Well, it was pretty threadbare down the bottom, but there was a lot of it up the top of the stairs. So I took the stair carpet up, cleaned it. But under the bottom step was this newspaper, the Bromley and Kentish Times, of the last week of the season when we won the league, when we beat St Albans. So you know, it's brilliant. You've got a team picture, you've got a picture.
That is brilliant.
Action picture. And of course, one of my heroes was Eric Nottage.
Yes, you made no secret of that.
Yeah, he was one of my heroes. Yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. All of the stuff you've got here, Ryan. Yeah. Obviously, there are plans to make that more accessible to people as well. So we'll keep everybody posted. Anything else from you on this week's edition?
No, I don't think so. No.
Well, that's a wrap then, I guess.
Yeah.
Roy, thank you so much for joining us. Reminder to everyone, we will be back on a weekly basis now, as will Roy. And we look forward to next week's edition of Roy Remembers. Thank you, Roy.
Thank you.
Okay, so we talked about it a moment ago. Pre-season is in full flow and the fixtures are now coming. We entertain Fulham on Saturday the 15th of July in this pre-season friendly. Adult tickets £15, concessions £10, under 16s £5 and 11 years and under, accompanied by paying adults, are free. Now, there's a lot going on at Hayes Lane on that day. It all starts at 8 o'clock, actually, with our mini Raven session for 18 months to 4-year-olds. Look it up on our website if you're interested. 9 o'clock till midday is our Saturday morning soccer school and development groups. We've then got our Pan Disability football from 12 till 1. And the Jim Brown Club shop is, of course, open all day. 9
get your
six.
Away shirts.
Get your shirts and get your merchandise in the Jim Brown Club shop. Remember, those of you who have club memberships will receive your 15% discounts in the club shop and in Brimfield as well. We've got Wimbledon action on the screens from 11 o'clock and the Goodwood Festival of Speed. We've got the match day menu in Brimfield as well from midday, as well as the bar itself opening too. Don't forget you can get coffees and other food earlier on in the morning. And there's a happy hour from midday, 50% Ooh. Off drinks except shots.
Except shots.
Until 1 o'clock. And of course, it's not the only match, Bromley versus Millwall, that is on that day. It's the under-21s against Fisher on the stadium pitch at midday. Bear Island Bar opens shortly after that. And then, of course, kick-off between Bromley and the Fulham 11 is 3 o'clock. The kitchen closes at 6 and the bar closes later on. So a brilliant day all round, Josh. And it's just for us, I guess, it's going to be nice to have football back. Mm. And it's going to be great to see everyone again and get a glimpse of these players for the first time.
Yeah, it's going to feel weird being at Hayes Lane and not building up to a league game and just watching the game to, you know,
just enjoy
soak
it.
Up what?
Not worry about the result.
Yeah, it's going to be weird.
Water breaks galore.
Yeah.
Trialist City. Oh, substitution madness.
Well, it was a nightmare, wasn't it, last summer when we had Spurs and it got called off because of the heat.
Had to move it forward a day, didn't we?
Yeah.
Or move it back a day.
Oh, it's mental.
But yeah.
It's really hot.
If you haven't got your tickets already, of course, season ticket holders, etc., will do. You've got email, PDF sent to you. Those of you who don't, tickets, as mentioned, are at the discounted rates.
Yep.
Do come on down and watch. It's sure to be an entertaining afternoon. Of course, we'd like to extend our thanks to Fulham for sending a team to Hayes Lane and bringing their guests down. It's always a privilege to welcome such great clubs to Hayes Lane and Fulham.
They came down the other year, didn't they?
They did, yes, that's right.
And Louis Dennis scored, but I think he was down as a trialist.
That's right, he was down as a trialist at the time, yeah. Look at all these trialists coming in, doing well, eh?
I know.
Who's going to be the next one? Well, we can't say anyone's name, so that's a bit of a pointless question.
Could be you.
Could be me. Well, we were joking.
You could. You're in charge of the paperwork, aren't you? You could put yourself down as a trialist.
I could sign myself, but that doesn't mean that Andy would pick me. And I very much doubt that he would pick me because I'm not very good at football.
You could be. I've only just thought of this because you're in charge of the paperwork.
Well, we said, didn't we? We were joking in the press box at Dulwich that Ronan should come on for the under-21s as a trialist. And we are going to do everything we can to make this happen. I'm only joking. We've got serious things to be getting on with.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Technically, yes, but I doubt I'd get any minutes.
I think you could do a job. You and Callum Reynolds at the back.
At the back?
Yeah.
Mm. Not sure about that. Callum will be doing a job making up for my incompetence on the field.
Goal for Bromley.
I'd have to take the mic onto the pitch.
Number 33.
I could use the mic as a tackling instrument, or I could, you know, wave it like that. Stop players from running at
this
me.
Is a podcast. You've got to describe how you've waved
I'm just waving it from side to side, really, you know. As if, look, you come near me, you're going to get clattered, basically.
Wow.
Slightly tackles the lot.
This was just a little idea that I had, and now it's just been taken.
I'll probably miss the ball. Well, I definitely missed the ball.
Would you go out on a short-term loan in January?
No, my future's at Hayes Lane or nothing.
I don't know.
Anyway, enough about me and my failed aspirations of becoming a footballer, which I gave up on many years ago.
Never give up on your dreams.
Partially due to injury, I must add.
Oh, that...
Yeah, but in all seriousness, I was never good enough anyway. So the injury just gives me an excuse. It didn't help, but it wasn't the reason. Probably wasn't the reason that I didn't make it. But anyway...
Didn't you used to play for West Ham?
No. Where is this going?
Sorry.
I think it's probably a time for us to finish now. Josh, thank you.
We need to start doing this in the morning because when it gets later, it just...
Thank you for boosting my morale and making me think that I might be able to get a few seconds onto the on the pitch as a trialist.
That's fine.
Thank you for joining me today. And, of course, to all of you for listening, we'll be back for the commentary of Saturday's game against Fulham if you can't make it. But nothing beats being there, so get on down to Hayes Lane if you
can. Who are you on commentary with?
I'm on commentary with Dan Bentley, supposedly, if he turns up. You're looking at me with a very strange expression. What does that mean?
Oh, no, I just didn't think he was.
Yeah, I think Dan Bentley's around. So, well, you know, there's only one way to find out. This is great for us because tune in to see who's joining me on commentary on Saturday. I mean, it doesn't get more exciting than that. Forget the game.
We need to get a player.
Forget the game. This is all about who's commentating with me.
We need to get a player, don't we? Co-coms.
Yeah, we do. We did that in COVID.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're spiralling off here and we are keeping all of your time. So thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you've enjoyed this episode and we'll be back again for more next week. But take care till then and we hope to see you on Saturday. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town.